We remember from last week that there are times we may fall, but upon that fall we get up, brush off, get back in that Christian race. Today as we come, O Lord, we want to become strengthened by Your grace and Your love. Thank You for people who have shown us the way. In Jesus' name, amen. The summer sermon series is entitled Living Strong. And whenever this came to me, I began to do a study of verses in the Scripture about strong and strength. And there's one that speaks loudly with a definitive voice, and that's Joshua 1:9. And it says this in Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And that was said at the time of Joshua leading the Israelites into Canaan to conquer the land. But I want you to see that, first of all, this is a command. God did not suggest, He did not inspire them to be strong. He said, "This is my commandment." We don't have to go to the original language to find it out. We see it's a direct command in translation. "Have I not commanded you?" And here are some commands from God. He says to them, and He says to you, His people, He says, "Be strong." That's a command. He says, "Be courageous." That's a command. He says, "Do not be afraid." That's a command. He says, "Do not be discouraged." That's a command. He says, "Bob, do not be discouraged." How many times a week do I need to tell myself that? How about you? It's a command. Do not be discouraged. Why? He said, here's why. Because your God is with you. Because I will be with you. Because I will be before you and I will be behind you. And He has commanded to be strong, to be courageous, to not be afraid, to not be discouraged. What if the God of the Bible said this? Be weak. Be fearful. Be afraid. Be discouraged. Why? Because I just can't be everywhere. What if that's the kind of relationship we had with the God of the Bible? And see, if it was something like that, how would you like to sit there today and me preach a message called Living Wimpy for Jesus? There wouldn't be a whole lot of inspiration about that. But this message is about living strong. All summer will be about living strong. Today, we'll discover how to live strong by seeking Him with a whole heart. Next week, I'll speak about living strong by responding to His call. See, I think lots of times in American evangelical Christianity, we can explain the call. We can talk about how other people responded to the call. We can understand the call, but there's no strength until we respond individually to the call. You must respond to God's call to live strong. I can't live strong for you. You can't live strong for me. The next week, I'll speak about making your commitment known. If you're going to be strong, it must be known. There are no incognito Christians in the Bible. Christianity is not a secret society. It's an in the light, out in the open, shouting from the rooftops kind of commitment. That's what makes for a strong Christian. And then I'll speak about living out a changed life, putting God's promises into practice and living it. And then there's about 13 messages in this. But each week it'll be about how we can live strong, looking at a character in the Bible and seeing how God, how His command was fulfilled in people's lives. Now for today's message, I'm going to preach about to be strong, you must be an earnest seeker. You have to seek God with a whole heart if you intend to be strong. You can't seek Him half-heartedly and expect to be strong. Did you hear me? You can't seek Him half-heartedly and expect to be strong. You can't add Jesus to the rest of your week and expect to be strong. You can't just plug a little Jesus in when you get in trouble and expect to have a strong walk in the Lord. Let's go to Mark chapter 10, beginning in the 46th verse. Mark 10, 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting along the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. And so we have this scene near the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. They're coming out of Jericho. Now, we would realize that Jericho, there's an old Jericho, a new Jericho. Other gospel writers say they were going in, so they may have been coming out of the old city into the new city, out of the new into the old. But anyhow, Jericho is a passageway to Jerusalem when you're traveling through Perea. And this is the only time in the Scripture that it says Jesus visited Jericho. You know the place from the Old Testament where the walls fell down? Same place. And in this town, with Jesus, were His disciples and a big crowd of people. And we realize as He made His triumphal entry that is yet to come, there's a crowd that came out to Him and a crowd that came in with Him. The same group of people were already, you see, it was growing. It was getting bigger and bigger, and they were headed to Jerusalem. And amongst this crowd, maybe not even part of the throng headed with Jesus, sitting along the wayside was this man named Bartimaeus. Bar means son, so it says the son of Timaeus. That's real easy to figure out by looking at Bar Timaeus, son of Timaeus. And he was blind, and of course he was a beggar. See, in those days there was no welfare system where we cared for those who were needy. In our day, we might make provision for a person who is blind. He didn't have a white cane. He wasn't looked upon, with grace. But he had to make his own way. And so it's not news that he was blind and a beggar named Bartimaeus, that he had to make his own way by begging, sitting along the highway daily. Now you might notice it talks a little bit about he threw his cloak to the side. That cloak would have been a part of his business, sort of a sign. Some days he wore it, some days he sat on it, some days he covered himself with it. Some days it might have been where you threw the coins that you gave to him. So very much so, this beggar had his cloak. It was just a part of him. It was his ID. Bartimaeus cannot see, but he can hear. And he finds out it's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David, the great healer who's passing by him that day. Lots of energy in the crowd. Intensity was growing because they were headed toward Jerusalem. Jesus knew why he was going. His disciples thought they knew why he was going. The crowd wanted to see what would happen. Would he overthrow the government? There were rumblings, "Let's kill him." And so there was that atmosphere. And in the midst of that throng, as the plot builds, blind beggar Bartimaeus cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." I don't know what you hear. Did he say, "Have mercy on me"? 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 Or did he emphasize all the words? Have mercy on me! I don't know, but I wonder. He said it loud enough, interfered enough, close enough to Jesus that the crowd said to him, just be quiet, Bartimaeus. You're just a blind beggar. Jesus is headed to Jerusalem. In our language, they said, roll up your beggar's cloak and just shut up. Not this earnest seeker. See, he intended to be strong. He intended to know Jesus in a life-changing way. And even though all around him were saying, just stay in the background. You're not that important to Jesus. Not Bartimaeus. The Scripture says he shouted all the louder, have mercy on me. Let's say that together. Ready? Have mercy on me. Now listen, you're a blind beggar sitting along the road. Had to make a living. You know your only hope is Jesus Christ. How would you say it? Let's try it again. Have mercy on me. Now as loud as you can, everybody. 1, 2, 3. Good, you're getting it. And the Scripture says Jesus stopped. And he commanded, said, bring that guy here. It's mindful of the time the woman reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Clothes don't have feelings. But the power left Jesus. And he said, who touched me? See? Of all the people who were making noise. And who knows that day, who else was shouting out with a need? Jesus, could you do this for me? Jesus, could you do this for me? He heard Bartimaeus. And he said, bring him here. Now, I hope you're getting it. If you intend to be strong in the Lord, you have to seek Jesus with a whole heart like Bartimaeus was seeking Jesus. And sometimes, you know, putting your hands in your pocket and your head down saying, Jesus, I really need you now. Sometimes, it doesn't get his attention. But when the world says, oh, shut up. He doesn't care about you. He's not real. He can't do that today. That's not how it works any longer. Just shut up. Just stay in your role. Just keep being a blind beggar. Roll up your cloak and get out of here. See, when the world tells us that, that's when we insist that we are serious about following Jesus. Now, here's the most dynamic part of that whole passage of Scripture, in my opinion. It says he got up and he threw down his cloak. When he got up to go to Jesus and threw down that cloak, he was announcing, this is it. I'm finished. I'm a beggar no more. I don't need that cloak. And he went to Jesus. And Jesus said, what do you want? And of course, if you were blind and begged for a living, would you ask for $100 or would you ask to see? He said, I want to see. I've had this miserable life. I've been begging alongside the road day after day. I'm hemmed in. I'm pushed down. I want to be done with it. I want to be whole. Jesus, you're my only hope. Could he say, Jesus, I want to be strong for you? And the Scripture says, sort of like this, that Jesus said, okay, you can see now. Isn't that neat? And isn't that how Jesus touched your heart? Didn't he make everything okay in an instant? There's this blessed assurance. There's this freedom and forgiveness. There's this gloriousness about grace that comes our way in an instant. See, when Jesus says, come, and we go, And he says, what do you want? And we say, make us whole. And he says, okay, your faith has made you well. And then the Bible says he followed Jesus. I like that. I think this is a wonderful story in the Scripture. I say wow about it, but I want to bring it home to us today. Someone asks you, are you serious about following Jesus? Let me ask this. Raise your hand on this. Who wants to live a weak, anemic Christian life? Raise your hand if you want to live a weak Christian life. See, none of us set out to say that's my desire. But how many of us would admit sometimes we live pretty weak Christian lives? Raise your hand if you say... See, we want to live strong Christian lives. Are we serious about finding Jesus? And when we get separated from Jesus, even as Christians, are we serious about finding Him again? And are you humble enough to call out and say, Jesus, have mercy on me again? Have you ever had to ask for His mercy more than once? I have. And so I begin to think, you know, do we simply admire Him or do we really want to follow Him? Well, let me give you five evidences that you're ready to live strong for Him. Here are five proofs that prove to yourself that you are an earnest seeker. The first one is this. Can you say, I want Jesus because I know I need Jesus? I want Jesus because I know I need Jesus. If you're an earnest seeker, nobody can talk to you about out of needing Jesus. You want Him bad enough, it doesn't matter what the crowd says. And if they tell you to shut up and go home, you'll shout all the louder. Hosea chapter 10, verses 12 and 13 say this. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. It's time to do something with the ground of your life. Till He comes and He rains righteousness on you. Do you know when you quit seeking God? Well, never. But you'll know He's heard you when His righteousness rains down upon you. And then in Hosea it says this. You've plowed wickedness. You've reaped iniquity. You've eaten the fruit of your lies because you trusted in your own way. Think about that. Not strong? Maybe it's because you've been plowing wickedness and reaping what you have sown, iniquity, and you've believed your own lies, and your life's working, but it's working in a downward spiral, headed to hell. You know why? Because you've trusted in your own way, not in the Lord. You haven't sought Him with a whole heart. And then verse 12 says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Sow wickedness, reap your own way. Sow righteousness, get God's mercy. You have to want and need Jesus. How many would say, I need Jesus? How many would say, I want Jesus? See, we have to want Jesus like a blind man who begs for a living wants to be able to see with a whole heart. Enough to stand up in the middle of the crowd that's saying, just be quiet and say, no way. I'm seeking Jesus here. I want rid of the stereotype. I don't want to be seen as somebody sitting alongside the road any longer, crying because I'm a beggar, feeling sorry for myself. If you don't know you need Jesus, you'll never live strong. And if you don't want Jesus, you'll never live strong. So I just ask you, are you desperate enough? Oh, it works for salvation. If you don't have eternal life, if you seek Jesus because He's already sought you, He'll give it to you. Husbands, if you're on the run from home and you're plowing wickedness and reaping iniquity, eating the fruit of your lives and expecting your family to do the same? You'll trust yourself, but you won't be strong in the Lord. It works for when you're on the run from Jesus. And we could apply it 1,000 ways. Come out of the wickedness and into the righteousness. Point number 2, another evidence, another proof, is this: I am willing to seek Him out. I'm going to do what it takes to get in the front of Jesus. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Seeking Jesus is not a hobby. As I said previously, you will never be strong if you seek Him half-heartedly. So I want to encourage you, go looking for Jesus. And go looking for Jesus again. I've asked this various times in the length of my ministry: what's the longest standoff you've ever had with God? What's the longest you've ever gone doing, not doing what you know you should do? That's a standoff. You know when it's time to seek Jesus, all you got to do is get back on your knees, humble your heart, open up, and He's there. But you refuse to do it. You know you need to get your nose back in this book. You need to meditate upon it, let it, changing your heart, building upon the firm foundation. And every night you say, tomorrow morning I'm going to start, and it doesn't happen. You know you need to make amends. See, the horizontal mess is making the vertical relationship weak. That's why Paul says to married people, he says, don't refrain from your marital relationships except for fasting and prayer. See, that's more important than the horizontal relationships. Even the marriage bed, being right with God, is more important. And so we would see then that we must be willing to seek Jesus. And if you're not willing to seek out Jesus, then and keep seeking Jesus, then you'll never live strong. You understand what I'm saying? You've got to always be seeking Jesus. Thirdly, I'm ready for opposition to my seeking. See, the world says, go be quiet. Sit along the road. There's not a chance for a change in your life. Just shut up. But like the old hymn says, I have decided to follow Jesus. It says, the world, where's the world? Behind me. Where's the cross? The cross before me. And no turning back. See, if you're not ready to face opposition for Jesus, then you'll never live strong for Jesus. Lots of us can testify to that. We become less popular, not more popular, because we seek Jesus. Fourthly, you will know, you see, that you want to be strong in seeking Jesus when you can say, I'm ready to lay down my old life. When you're saying, these coins and this cloak don't mean anything to me anymore. I'll trade them in for new sight. I think this is an important point. I want to ask you, can you throw off your beggar's cloak? See, lots of us have some old ways. We're in the crowd. We're walking to Jerusalem with Jesus. But as soon as we don't get our own way, we know how to get attention. We go back and we find that cloak. We sit along the road and we ask for some coins. But we're not following Jesus. See, if you're ready to lay down your old life, you've got to deal with the old self. Are you ready to be done with the old self? If you're not ready, then you won't be strong. You'll be weak. You'll be a half-hearted follower of Jesus Christ. Old self what's some of the old man, the old woman that needs to be done with once for all. Men in their anger, you know that controlled your home for lots of years. Now you're walking with Jesus, don't get your own way. What's the tendency of an angry man? I'll turn the anger back on. I can get what I want with the anger. Language, habits. The old self. Are you ready to walk away from old friends and old habits and old sins and your old security? See, that's what it says in Hosea. Your old security is this. You reaped yourself, you believed your lies, and you trust yourself. You've got to be done with the old security and your old excuses. See, if you're not ready to leave your old life behind, you'll never be strong for Jesus. Now, I've decided this. There's some strengths about being the preacher of a church for nearly 30 years. But there's also some weaknesses. And I think it translates into the pew. There are some strengths to belonging to the same church for a long time. But there's also some weaknesses. And you know why? Because we become students of each other. And we can resort, you see, to our old ways and our old excuses and our old insecurity and our old security because we have trained each other to look over and around our, you know, interpersonal relationships. And I don't really think that for all of us the idea would be let's go just to a new church and make new relationships. But I do think for all of us it would do well if we all laid down our beggar's cloaks and stood up and went to Jesus and said, give me new eyes. See, about living strong, I think this. We must. It has to be a decision to preach about the promises of God, not the problems of people. To concentrate on God's, you see, new way of life, not concentrate on the old man that tears us down all the time. And see, when you return to your old habits and you come for counseling and you return to your old habits and you come for counseling and we make that the focus of the church, then we've lost sight of who Jesus is, what He's promised. Because none of us need to be lining up along the road with our beggar's cloaks, crying out, I can't get help, I can't get help, I can't get help. We've got to stand up and get in front of Jesus and live the new life, including this guy. See, we can't afford to be looking back all the time. That's not what it's about. I believe with all my heart, no way to prove it scripturally, I believe with all my heart, Bartimaeus never went back to begging. I'm surprised he isn't one of the deacons at Pentecost in the Jerusalem church, Acts 7. Well, imagine that. What a changed life. I'm asking you, has your life been changed? Or have you just read about somebody else's life that's been changed? Does God work here? Or does He just work in California? Or Milwaukee? Or Chicago? Or all the places that He does work? See? So unless we're ready to walk away from our old life, we'll never be strong. We'll always be weak. Do you get that? You will always be weak unless you forsake your old life. Is that making sense to anybody? See, if you have this tendency to be down in the mouth and depressed and for a while you get up and get a few barbells, you know, spiritual ones, and you get strong for a while, then you just go back to the crap. Then you say, this is hard. I don't think Bartimaeus ever went back. I really don't. And I'm saying, don't go back. And then fifthly, you'll know that you're an earnest seeker if you can say, I'm ready to pick up my new life. Lay down the old and let me live out the new. Lots of us want forgiveness. But see, we don't want the cleansing of forgiveness. We don't want the challenge of forgiveness. We don't want to live in the new land. And we're not living until we do. We must be ready to follow Jesus and not look back. That's the new life. Back in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, Lot and his family were leaving a terrible place, Sodom and Gomorrah. A place that was overtaken by an abomination, the abomination of homosexuality. So much so that when two men, angels, showed up, the men of the city preferred them over virgin women. There was no one that would follow righteousness. Hardly anyone. One family. Lot, Abraham's nephew. And when these angels said, "It's time to get out of town," they said this in Genesis 19:17. They said, as soon as they had brought them out, one of the angels said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back." And see, when we are leaving the sinfulness, the evil, the darkness, the ugliness, all that God does not intend, when we're leaving that behind, it is necessary that we never look back. Now, as you know, Lot's wife looked back. Now listen, I don't think as they were fleeing, she just went. I think she might have turned around and thought, "All I have worked for is being destroyed. Oh, my kitchen. Oh, you know, my favorite appliance. Oh, we worked so hard. And we had this really great urban life. And now it's gone. And God has called us to go live in the mountains and hide out." And God read her heart. And as you know, she turned into, she became a pillar of salt. And just as she was memorializing what she was leaving behind, she became a memorial to looking back. And see, when we leave the old life and we look back, we don't literally become a pillar of salt, but we become frozen because we're not sure. See, I guess we could say we become cured, okay, like an old ham. By the way, Frank Zitzman has a hamburger from McDonald's and French fries. Anybody know how old it is now? Probably a year and a half old. Has never molded, okay? Full of preservatives. It looks the same as the day he bought it. And just like Lot's wife, you see, sometimes in our spiritual walk, we say we want rid, we say we want out of Sodom, but we still miss the old life. And it does. It cures us in place. And we're just a memorial to what could have been. So I ask you, have you left your Sodom? And if you have, then don't look. The Scripture teaches this about a new life also in Luke 9. Jesus said this, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service." The new life is the new life. We don't look back, we press on. That's what the Scripture teaches. It doesn't say we just launch out there and everything comes to us. It says we walk with the Lord. And we press on, even when it's hard to press on. Hosea 6, "Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but He will heal us. He has injured us, but He will bind up our wounds. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge Him. As surely as the sun rises, He will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth." And Philippians 3, 12-14, Paul says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold for that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for God, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm living out the new life. I've left the old life, and I'm not going back because I'm strong in the Lord. And I say, if you're not willing to live out the new life, you'll never be strong for Jesus. So who are we? I think it's perfectly clear. We must see ourselves as blind beggars needing Jesus. We cry out and we keep crying out. We lay down the old life and live out the new life, living strong for Him. In just a moment, we're going to sing Cover Me, the song that Ken recently wrote from Revelation that was sung just before our message. And we realize that it's all about Jesus. The Lamb who was slain, who offers us grace and mercy. And today we've dwelled on coming to Jesus, being those blind beggars ready for Him to change our lives. So let's dwell on living strong by focusing on His promises rather than focusing on our problems. Let's find our solution in Jesus. I'd like for each one of us to remember and memorize these words. They're from Joshua 1:9. Would you read them with me, and would you fellows come and get ready to lead us? They're on the board. Let's read them together. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So I say today, let's live strong. Let's live courageously for the Lord. And we'll pledge, I will you? Now maybe today, let's be standing together. You say, you know, I've been carrying around this beggar's cloak too long. Let's stand up. You guys will begin to play. Maybe you'd say, you know, I've had this way of managing, and it's my beggar's cloak that, you know, keeps the attention on me. And you might say today, you know, here's Jesus. He said, when I'm lifted from up from the earth, I'll draw all men to me. He meant when He was crucified on the cross, He was calling the world. When He's lifted up in preaching, His word becomes clear, His Spirit goes to work, and maybe your life has been touched. If you want to come for the first time to come to Jesus, we invite you to come. Or if there's an area of your life that you would say, I just want to leave that here today. Like Bartimaeus, you know, got up from alongside the road and walked away and followed Jesus. If you want to leave something behind, just leave it here today. So we invite you to come and pray with our elders, pastors, and we want to help you come to the Lord for whatever the need might be. Will you seek Jesus with a whole heart?